Easter Day is always interesting as we go through the years. We hear the different accounts of the resurrection, and we might be taken to think, well, there doesn't seem to be a common thread. Well, there's a common thread, but there seems to be differing details in some of the accounts. Sometimes there are two men in white, sometimes there is only one angel, and they seem to appear in different places and say slightly different things. And we might be forgiven for thinking, is this an authentic account? Can we tell what exactly happened? But the more I read about it, the more writers who comment on it, they say, actually, this is a mark of the authenticness of these Gospels. That they've not been ironed and harmonised to match one another. That actually, it is an eyewitness account. There are four eyewitness accounts. And as if you've ever read different eyewitness accounts of the same event, different people see different things and bring out different things and emphasise different things. And so the fact that there is some differences across the Gospels now is come to believe as a real authentic sign that these are eyewitness statements. And the fact that it's the women who are making those statements is even more powerful, that this is clearly an authentic account, because we may be aware that in that culture, in that time, the word of a woman was not held as up as high as a man's. Hopefully things are changing, or have changed, but you can discuss that as you will. Our passage begins with the women going to the tomb, towards the tomb, to minister to the dead body of Jesus. I'm really struck by this. You know, they're not trained embalmers, but they want to do for their friends the final act of service, as it were. And I'm also very much struck by how culturally different that is from our culture, who kind of puts a gap between life and death. We don't really want to engage. Well, of course, we don't want to engage with death, but it's very distant. And I did a funeral this week, and I really encouraged the family. There were a couple of grandchildren. I said, do bring them along so they see what it is we do with a dead body when we say goodbye to this person. You know, it's a simple act of dropping the coffin into a depending on how good your funeral dresses are. But it is that simple act. There is nothing. And I did say to them, if you don't bring the children on, they will conjure up some idea of what happens that actually can be much more dangerous. And I love the fact that the booklet we've been giving out to the children this year, done by the Bible Society, we shared this morning and also on Good Friday a video that's been made of it, actually again deals with death. It's told, the story of the resurrection and Good Friday and through it, it's told from the point of view of children, one of whom was the child who died and was raised to life by Jesus. And that's dealt with brilliantly, and we can try and shelter children and adults as well, really, from the reality of death. So this passage really struck me. And I guess there's a parallel there between how we separate death and life. Also, there's something for me about how we keep faith away from life, in a way. For many people, faith is something that they'll kind of wait and deal with when they have to. And so it's kind of put on the back burner until something like a funeral kind of brings it home. But as we look through the passage, we see the women going through an amazing array of emotions. And I've got a few pictorial cues, which my son said was I'm not quite sure what he thought of them. But anyway, it begins with sorrow. So the women are in sorrow. I haven't had to use that one very often in my text messages or whatever. But these emojis are the way that people speak nowadays, I think. But there's sorrow at the start. But I'm also struck by the bravery of them to step out. They're purposeful in their deed of service they want to do for Jesus, even if it means putting themselves in a dangerous situation. Jesus is the one who was arrested and tortured, and they are aligning himself with him. I'm not sure this is quite right, but purposeful was the idea I was getting at there. They're purposeful.
They get to the tomb
and they become a little bit puzzled because it's empty.
And that's not what they were expecting. Of course, they were expecting to have to minister to this dead body that's there.
Then these men in white appear, and well, they're
frightened, bewildered, completely confuddled by what's going on. Oh yeah, bewildered, there we go.
But it's the angels' words that help them to piece things together.
They literally remember the words of Jesus with what they are seeing with their eyes.
And then they become excited.
Even more than that, perhaps. Maybe I've gone too far. They are elated.
That they've realised what Jesus said.
So many things he said were metaphorical, and some things they had to take, you know, as literal. And now they've realised that all the things he said about rising again were literal.
He really has done it. Well, then we compare with the guys, the disciples, the men.
They're hiding in the upper room at the start, and they stay there.
We don't see a lot of bravery from them at this point, but maybe they're having a prayer meeting. They're praying hard that something will happen. They're obviously sorrowful as well.
But when but they maybe they're hiding.
I'm not quite sure this one, but apparently that's sort of...
They're a little bit scared. That's meant to be their scared face. It looks a bit scary to me. But they're scared.
And rightly so. Some of them they would have heard, or I'm sure Peter would have told them, who was with them, and John, exactly what happened to Jesus. And the women arrive back with this amazing news, and they're met with disbelief and doubts.
Far from just being doubting Thomas, actually what we see in this passage is the whole group of doubting disciples, really. Thomas gets
painted with that target, that brush, doesn't he? But they all doubt. And imagine the women are starting to feel a different emotion now.
Maybe slightly frustrated. Maybe we'll go a bit further. Perhaps they're getting quite angry with the
reception they got. Again, not an emoji I've used, fortunately.
But you can imagine their frustration. They believe this. They've come to faith.
And then our passage closes with again a verse about Peter that commentators wonder how it's got there, but the fact that it's there again shows its authenticity. Someone recording what actually happens. And Peter, being impetuous, of course, runs off to see, and he is left, and we're left at the end of that passage with him, wondering, what on earth? Is it really true? Is it really true?
And we're left with a challenge
to make our own choice, really. Do we, like the men, try and keep life and death apart? Try and keep life and faith apart, separate, keeping our faith in an upper room, as it were, and not engage with the resurrection until we stand face to face with Jesus? Maybe our face is that one.
Maybe we don't need these ones at this point.
Do we, like Peter, begin today to peer into the tomb, to think about death as well as life, to begin to see that God's mission of love is to bring resurrection and reconciliation, to mend broken relationships, to restore lost dreams, to reclaim lives marked by poor choices by others or by ourselves? Or do we, like the women, see life and death and resurrection as part of our Christian experience, promised by God, realised by Jesus, and founded on God's great love for us and the whole world?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing account. We thank you for this amazing, your amazing promise to us, shown through all that Jesus did, your love for us, shown in that amazing event, or that amazing weekend, the Good Friday, suffering and pain, the Easter Sunday, resurrection, a new life and new hope. Help us to move perhaps from that place where the men were struggling to believe, to a place like Peter, where we begin to wonder, begin to remember, to put together our experience with the words that we read in Scripture. And help us to move to a place where we can stand with the women in this story, confident of the promises that have come to fruition and can come to fruition, both for us to lead us into eternal life, but in this life as well. We can practice resurrection in our lives and help one another and others to sense and learn more of God's love for them. So lead us on, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing again now. Next hymn, number 153. Now the green blade arises.